From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Coming up on Forum in our next hour, since the 1960s, marriage rates for African Americans have been dropping, and today they are at the lowest rate of any racial group in the United States. The rate is lower for black women than for men, and Stanford Law Professor Rick Banks believes he has an answer for black women in a controversial new book titled Is Marriage for White People? He'll join us in studio after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to the second hour of this morning's Forum program. Marriages are decreasing in overall numbers across the United States, and the numbers are even lower among African Americans, especially African American women. Nearly 70% are unmarried. Stanford Law Professor Rick Banks takes on the reasons why in his provocative new book, Is Marriage for White People? How the African American Marriage Decline Affects Everyone. His writings have appeared in the Stanford Law Review and the Yale Law Journal, as well as New York Times, Los Angeles Times, and the Chicago Tribune. And he joins us in studio for this second Forum Hour. And good to have you back, Professor Banks. Thank you for being here.
It is such a pleasure to be here.
Well, let's talk about some of these statistics, first of all. There are fewer committed and enduring relationships among black people than any other group, three times as likely as their white counterparts never to marry, as far as black women, and more likely to marry down. So you come up with this controversial notion that, and we'll talk about marrying down and what that all means, but marry out, and getting a lot of blowback from the black community, aren't you?
It's quite surprising, yes. This is not an advice book. It is a book that aims to analyze and explain the decline of marriage among African Americans, middle class black women in particular. And I do suggest that, it might be a good thing if more black women open themselves to relationships with men of other races.
Which they've been reluctant to do because of race loyalty or because of conflict with maybe going outside because it means a different culture, a different racial background, and also not pleasing your parents, those kinds of things?
Yeah, there are a lot of factors. The way is, as I researched the book and wrote the book, I sort of explored all the different factors. And there are a lot of factors that result in black women being the least likely of any group to marry interracially, even though they have the fewest partners within their own racial group. And the way I've come to think about it just this morning driving up here, frankly, is that it all sort of coalesces around the question of whether black women should continue to be held hostage to the failings of black men.
I was just going to say, one of the real problems is just the numbers, though. There are a lot of black men who are incarcerated. Black men have, I think you say at one point, too many choices. Black women have too few. Maybe too easy for black men in some ways to get women, and they go out much more than black women go out. Meaning interracial.
Yeah, so there are a number of things going on. So there are a lot of black men are incarcerated. More than 800,000 currently are in jail or prison. Some estimates are that one in four black men will spend time in prison. And so these numbers decrease the pool of marriageable men for black women. But it's also the case that those black men who one might think are the most marriageable, those who have good jobs or perhaps college educated, those men, too, are much less likely than their white counterparts to marry. And part of the story there is that while women may not marry because there are too few men, some women may not marry because there are too many women.
There's also really a sense of technological change in all this and just the global market, glass ceilings being shattered. Black men are worse off and black women are better off. That's just an economic reality that you write about.
That's a reality that I've also had a lot of pushback on. And the book is only being published now, and this is really my first interview about it. The fact of the matter is that black men are lagging behind along many dimensions. Unprecedented numbers of black men are incarcerated. Black men don't do nearly as well educationally as black women.
2-to-1 college graduates.
One of the statistics that I've checked a gazillion times because I just don't want to believe it is that nearly twice as many black women as black men graduate from college. Black women are better represented than black men in medical schools and in law schools. There, the disparity is also approaching 2-to-1. It's not there yet. So the reality is that there are not enough black men available for all the single black women.
I have enough of a historical memory that I remember when early on in the 70s in the women's liberation movement, The Black Scholar, which is published here mm-hmm. in Sausalito, there was an article all about how black women have to support their black men mm-hmm. and women's liberation should not be something that they should be looking toward. And yet the fact is women's liberation has opened all these doors and broken all these glass ceilings.
Right. No, that's a great point. It has been the case that black women, I think, do feel a special commitment to black men, many of them do. And we enforce this in many ways. So you have lots of black women who are very successful. They go to college. They have professional careers. But they want a black man. And one of the reasons is because they feel a sense of racial solidarity. And they want to lift as we climb, as they say. They don't want to leave black men behind, especially when black men are struggling. And they know very well the nature of those struggles.
Talking with Rick Banks, who's a Stanford law professor and has written a book called Is Marriage for White People? He profiles a lot of black African-American women who fit into the category that we're talking about here. Professional, smart, attractive, with many things going for them, except not necessarily finding a man. Or if they do find a man, it's usually, as you say, in many cases, working class men. They're professionals and they're marrying down, I suppose. These dirty class things. But.
Well, this is another striking statistic. More than half of college-educated black women are married to a man who is less educated than they are. That educational advantage frequently translates into an economic advantage as well, because education now is worth more on the labor market than it was and than it has been in prior decades. So it's not uncommon among African Americans to find professional black women, lawyers, architects, engineers, marketing executives, who are married to working class men.
Which isn't necessarily a bad thing, of course, right?
Well, there are such relationships. I know people who are in those relationships, and many of those relationships work, right? So find love where you can, and if it works, great. But it's also the case that when you look, at the whole span of such relationships, we find that they are, in fact, more likely to be conflict-ridden. They are, in fact, more likely to divorce. And this is probably part of the answer the explanation for why African Americans have the highest divorce rates of any group, because we have so many of what I call mismatched relationships between higher achieving women and blue collar men.
But it seems that some studies point out that blacks who are in same sex relationships, I mean, we're talking about marriage here, but mm-hmm. in same sex relationships are far more successful.
Blacks who are in same – now, this I do not cover in the book. Blacks who are in same-sex relationships
are far more
successful.
Yeah, I saw some statistics about this, particularly
that seems perfectly
lesbian
fine.
Lesbian relationships.
Yeah, that seems perfectly fine. I mean, I think that's right, right? The reason that the divorce rates are so high among African Americans, I mean, a big part of the reason is that, we have a culture where we've encouraged black women to give priority to race and to assume that class differences don't matter. And that strategy has been disastrous. It's been disastrous for women, for the men they're married to, and for their children.
Talking again with Rick Banks, his book is Marriage for White People, How the African-American Marriage Decline Affects Everyone. I want to get into that whole question about the subtitle and how it affects everyone. But you've been talking about some of these statistics that you've had to check and recheck and how shocking some of them are. I'll tell you, one of the most shocking things I came across was that a black child was more likely according to your book, in slavery, to grow up with both parents than today.
Well, I don't think I say exactly that. That claim has been bandied about, and that's
Well, let's find out. What do you say then?
Well, that's a complicated claim. What I say is that African Americans are more unpartnered now than at any time since slavery. So during slavery, and there were no legally recognized partnerships because slaves did not have the legal authority to marry. But if you look even, 5 or 10 or 20 years after slavery, you actually had very high marriage rates among African Americans. So my point is that the fracturing of African Americans' relationships that we see now is really historically unprecedented.
Also talk about people like Bill Cosby and Barack Obama and say that they're wrong about black fathers not necessarily wanting to care for their children.
They are indeed. There have been a number of commentators, Bill Cosby, President Obama when he was a candidate, more recently Mayor Nutter from Philadelphia, who have in essence argued that the reason so many black men are absent from their children's lives is because they don't care about them, because they have deficient values, because they don't understand that being a father means more than contributing sperm. It means staying around to raise the child. And that explanation for the absence of black fathers is wholly misguided and at odds with all the data, right? A chief reason why black fathers are not involved in their children's lives is because they often are not married to the child's mother. And that's a very strong predictor of father involvement, whether the father is married to the mother. When the father is married to the mother facilitates the relationship. When the father is not married, and especially when they enter relationships with others, the relationship between the father and the child tends to diminish.
Those who are, well, rejecting your thesis that black women should think about marrying out, that they should, in other words, go to other races or look to other races or be more open or amenable to other races, you've got a cultural phenomenon in a lot of ethnic groups where, I mean, I go to a college cafeteria, you see, again, this is black solidarity. You see black college students. I'm sure you see it at Stanford. They have fewer black students there perhaps than some other colleges. But you'll see them sitting together always in the student union or having lunch together. I mean, there's that sense of solidarity. So they want to marry within their group. I mean, it's almost, in a sense, cultural, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I think there is a preference, I think, across all groups to marry within the group. And there are a lot of sources of that preference. So part of the point I want to make is that the preference that black women might have to marry within the group is not atypical. It's actually a widespread preference that other groups feel. Other racial groups, ethnic groups, religious groups have the same preference. At the same time, it's important to recognize that black women are the most segregated group in our society in terms of their intimate lives. Black women are less than half as likely as black men to marry across racial lines. Black women are a third or less as likely as Asians and Latinos to marry across racial lines. Black women are not even much more likely than whites to marry across racial lines, which is extraordinary because you would expect the majority group would have very low intermarriage rates. So there is something troubling that's going on that's keeping black women segregated.
It may not just be the will of black women, though. I mean, there have been some studies about online dating that suggest that white men are not as attracted to black women, and black women are more open about, well, the possibility, though they prefer black men, of dating out, as you put it. So it's
right.
Well, kind of working both ways, really.
Again, in the book, I I unfold the story, and I give due deference to the complicated nature of it, right? So there are reasons that it is the case that non-black men do not put black women at the top of their list. In fact, black women are often at the bottom of the list in terms of the preferences of white, Asian, Latino men for partners. But that's not the whole story, because black women are a minority of the population. And there are also so even if large numbers of non-black men are not interested in dating or marrying a black woman, there are many others who are. And that group, in fact, who are interested in dating or marrying a black woman is clearly substantially larger than the group of black women, perhaps even three times as large as the group of black women.
How much more do black men marry across racial lines than black women marry across racial lines?
Between two and three times as frequently.
And you also mentioned things like the down low and other sorts of impediments, as you see it, a lack of blue-collar jobs. I mean, in terms of the scarcity of black men or the reason that black women might not necessarily be as inclined to marry black men? By the down low, I mean this whole it's terminology for black men who have, shall we say, another more secret life in terms of erotic relationships with men of the same sex, with people of the same
sex. I actually don't give much weight to that fact. Other people have written about the down low phenomenon. And in my story, the key things that diminish the market for black women are that lots of black men are incarcerated, more than 800,000 as we speak, one in four over their lifetimes, that black men have not kept pace with black women educationally or economically. Twice as many black women as black men nearly graduate from college. And third, that black men then outmarry 2 to 3 times as frequently as black women. So once you take all these factors into account, the pool of black men is the thinnest pool of same-race partners for any group in the country.
Time to open the phone lines here and particularly encourage African-American women, black women who are listening to join us, but feel free to join us regardless of race, color, or creed. In fact, we'd like to hear from you. You can participate in the program now by calling our toll-free number, whether you're listening on radio, internet, or Sirius satellite. Toll-free number is available to you. It's 866-733-6786. Again, join us. Toll-free number, 866-733-6786. You can also email us, forum@kqed.org, or you can post a question or comment on our website by going to kqed.org/forum and clicking on this segment. So how does this benefit everyone, as you say in your subtitle?
Well, one of the overarching goals of the book is to connect the black experience to the American experience. Frequently, people write about marriage and they don't give much attention to the experience of African Americans. Conversely, when people write about African Americans in marriage, they don't link that to broad economic and cultural changes. And I wanted to bring those two together. So the marriage has declined for African Americans, but it's also declined for whites. And it's declined for many of the same reasons. So this is an African-American story, but through examining that, we also see a more universal story about marriage and society and how it's changing.
There may be a kind of elephant in the room in all this, too, and that is hooking up and sexuality is a lot easier. I mean, it used to be, you got married sort of so you could have sex, like Rock Hudson and Doris Day in their pajamas. They live happily ever after, and the implication sort of subtextually is now they're going to have sex. Yeah, I don't mean to make light of this. It's a lot easier, hence why get married?
Oh, that's key. That's one of the puzzles that I address in the book is that marriage used to be a necessity. It wasn't a choice about whether to marry, simply about who to marry. But everyone did it, right? And there were legal, social, all sorts of pressures that forced people into marriage. And now those pressures have diminished. And so, you know, one of the puzzles in the book is, well, why do people still marry at all?
We talked about that, didn't we? I mean, when we did that program on this, on the decline of marriages and you were part of it, it is an overall phenomenon. It's also a sense I get in your work about, well, another question I want to ask you, but we'll get to our callers here. There's been a lot of, like I said earlier, blowback. I was reading one review of your book where it's reprehensible and, I mean, some pretty strong and harsh language. I don't know if the author was a woman. I don't know if it was a woman who was black or white, but there seems to be somebody even used the word contemptible. Did you realize
that.
You hit this kind of nerve?
I've been called names that I can't repeat on the air. And I knew that this would strike a nerve. Even within my own family, my own circle of friends, I've had people who are resistant to what, you know, in one
mainly
sense.
African-American?
Mainly African-American. In one sense, I mean, then they're resistant to an issue that in one sense seems fairly, simple, which is that if there are too few men within your own group, why wouldn't you consider men of other groups?
Not just white men.
Right.
Asians,
not just white men.
Hispanics.
Of all other groups, especially in an area like the Bay Area. But that suggestion really taps into some very deep issues and anxieties, fears that people have related to race.
It maybe make you into a race traitor or something like that?
I've heard that. I've been called, again, there are some that I can't repeat. One that I can is a racial pimp, according to one reviewer who I think hadn't even read the book, in fact. Because the book wasn't out, I was called a racial pimp who wanted to profiteer off the difficulties of black women.
Let's go to our callers. Let's find out what you have to say. And we begin with a caller from Pittsburgh, Elaine. Good morning.
Yes, good morning, and thank you for taking my call. Very, very interesting topic. I am an African-American female who has been happily married to a Jewish male for 32 years. When I initially began dating in the early 70s, I, of course, went to African-American males, and because I had a baccalaureate, I was looking for a baccalaureate-prepared African-American male. In fact, I was looking for a doctorate-prepared African-American male because my brother at the time had a doctorate, has a doctorate, and they were as just non-existent. And it wasn't, and I am in the Bay Area, and decided to look, you know, cast my net as broadly as possible, and luckily found my husband, who was colorblind, as in the sense, now I am colorblind, and could not have had a more loving set of in-laws, totally accepting on both sides. So I think that race as it exists now as a concept is broadening, it's expanding, and in a sense, we're living through the browning of America, and that's my comment.
Okay.
I think that's a great comment. Thank you for calling. I will say, though, that you know, one of the puzzles of the story is that there has been this great social change, right? We have more intermarried couples now than ever. Intermarriage in some places has become a non-issue. Yet it's still the case that even in those places, Black women, I think, are burdened with a whole set of subtle pressures and messages which tell them that you should marry within your race, even if it means you marry a man of a different class. And you do not want to go outside of the race in order to find someone of the same class. And that's the message that a lot of Black women are sort of living with.
They're also living with a sense of being attracted to people of their own race, aren't they? I mean, isn't that sort of commonplace to be attracted to someone who looks like you and want to have children who look like you and all that?
I think it is common. That's a common experience. And a lot of women, again, these are all issues that I unpack in the book. A lot of women express that. And one of the goals of the book, though, is to unpack that a lot, because attraction is not a simple fact. It's actually a complex emotion. And there's usually a lot that underlies our sense of who we're attracted to. So the goal in the book is to try to create a conversation about
change chemistry,
underlying those underlying issues.
No, because it is often chemistry. You know, I'm drawn to somebody. I mean, you could do a whole Freudian number here. If there are Black parents, a daughter looks to her father and wants men like her father, and all that.
I have those in the book, I have one story about a woman who, all her life, she says she describes herself as having dated dark, big, bulky, unmistakably Black men. And those were the men she loved. Those are the men she was attracted to. And then by chance, one day, she happened to meet a man, a brother of a coworker, and to go out with him on a date as a favor. And she realized for the first time, and though she had never in her life thought she could ever be attracted to a white man, when she looked at this guy across that dinner table, she realized that he was attractive. He was actually sexy. And they've been married 10 years now.
There's also, I'm thinking about some work that I think was done by Price Cobbs and Judith Klein a number of years ago, where they showed that people within ethnic groups often go out because they have stereotypes. They have inbred sense of stereotyping of their own group. So, for example, you hear, in fact, I remember some of the people who were talking, say a Black man say, I don't want to date Black women. You know, they're all this way and that way. And they were all stereotypes. They were all bigoted views and prejudiced views coming from a kind of self-hatred, or so the argument went. But we're going to go into this a little deeper as we continue with Rick Banks. His book is Marriage for White People. We'll hear from you more when we return on Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. Rick Banks here with us in studio this hour, professor of law at Stanford and author of Is Marriage for White People? How the African-American Marriage Decline Affects Everyone. Also a man who is from Cleveland, like your genial host. And marriage is on decline generally in the United States and among African-Americans. The rates are particularly low, especially among African-American women. Nearly 70% of Black women are unmarried. And Professor Banks explores the reasons in his new book, Is Marriage for White People, and has a recommendation for Black women looking for a mate. Cross the color line and consider men of other races. And we were talking a little bit off air about the fact that big issue often, I mean, that first caller, very nice. She has a loving family, married a Jewish man. She's happy, been married for all these years, and in-laws love her, and she loves her in-laws. And but often it's the parental disapproval that Black women have to go against when they marry out. big time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, there is. This is
and community disapproval.
Yeah, one of the forces that maintain high rates of same-race marriages is family, community, friendship networks that in all sorts of subtle ways pressure people to marry within the group. So when people move away from home, say, come to a place like California, they're actually much more likely to intermarry. And that's true not just for African Americans. That's true for all groups.
Are you intermarried?
I'm married to a woman. And she is an African American. Actually, she is an African American woman also from Cleveland.
Really? Yeah. Just curious. Let me go to more calls and we go to Oakland. Jay, you're on.
Hi, Michael. Thank you. Professor Banks, this is Jay Ward from First Friday. We've spoken before. Great book, important topic. I just wanted to relate an anecdote which supports your thesis and then ask a question. Michael, you may not know this, but First Friday is a social professional networking organization that's been in the Bay Area for 20 years. We tried to put on a speed dating event to handle this question, to really facilitate having black women meet more black men. After about 2 weeks of marketing the event, I had about 40-some black women registered for the event and only 4 black men, which, you know, was stunning to us. And we literally had to go hand-to-hand and call individual men to get them to attend the event. So it really supports what Professor Banks is saying about the disparity in the community in terms of supply and demand. And I'm curious, though, from his perspective, what more black men can do to ameliorate this problem and to solve it, because I think it is a real crisis in our community.
You have some thoughts on that, Rick Banks?
What can men do? I think black men behave as other men behave. And, you know, there's evidence that when men face a really good market for them, that is a market with lots of desirable women, those men become less inclined to marry. And that's what's happened with black men. And that's part of the reason that at every income level, black men are less likely than white men to marry. I don't know that we can, it's hard to go against that.
Let me thank the caller and go to an email here. This is Trevor, who says, throughout your discussion, you've assumed and to some extent advise status discrimination by African-American women. You assume that there is something inherently degrading in African-American women dating working class African-American men or African-American men who, for whatever reason, have spent time in jail or prison. In doing this, you essentially reinforce the same biases that hold African-American men in their current social position.
That's a great issue. And I've heard that issue a lot and I've thought about that issue a lot. And, you know, I'm not saying that no marriage between a college educated black woman and a working class black man cannot work. Sometimes those relationships do work. But it's also the case that relationships depend very much on compatibility between the spouses. And compatibility is a matter of values and aspirations, experiences and so forth. And frankly, black women would have better relationships if they opened themselves or had relationships with non-black men who were their intellectual, educational, professional peers than with black men who were in a different educational and employment space. And that's actually borne out by data. I mean, there's actually research on the what makes a marriage work. And I think we've given too much weight to race and not enough weight to class in imagining who would make a good partner.
Here's a listener, Charles, who writes, your conversation inspires two thoughts. I clearly recall my grandmother paraphrasing Harry Edwards about 25 years ago as follows. Relationships are difficult enough without adding race into the equation. And what is the relative success, the same listener wants to know, is measured by divorce rates of black white marriages today? Any idea?
That's a great question as well. Divorce, one of the depressing aspects of the story is that divorce rates for African Americans are much, much higher than for whites or than for any other group, in fact. And it's difficult to estimate divorce because it depends on what happens down the line. But we do know that about half of African American couples divorce within the first 10 years compared to a third or less of white couples. It's a good estimate that about 2 out of every 3 African American couples will ultimately divorce.
What about interracial couples, though? Do we know?
And then what's surprising, again, is that black women, and that we don't have, data is limited, but to the extent we have evidence, black women who marry interracially are actually less likely to divorce than black women who marry black men. And that's another one of those surprising findings. And the explanation for that would be that the black women who marry interracially are much more likely to marry someone whom they're compatible with, whereas the black women who marry interracially are sometimes partnered with black men whom they assume they're compatible with because of race, but in fact, they have different values, they have different interests, they have different backgrounds, different aspirations.
Well, we're getting a lot of narratives and personally described stories from listeners, as you might imagine. Here's one. I'm a middle-aged African-American man with a double master's MBA in theology. I married at 23 to an African-American woman, believing race, along with love, of course, was critical. We divorced after 22 years, largely because of factors that were there from the very beginning. I'm now engaged to a wonderful woman who happens to be white. Race is not something we share. Instead, we share class and culture. She is my intellectual peer, my spiritual equal, and my soulmate. And we'll go to more of your calls. And we go to Castro Valley. Karen, you're on.
Hi, my name is Karen, and I am a African-American woman. I'm about 40 years old. I'm married to a black man, but prior to my marriage, I dated outside my race more than once. I've dated both a Caucasian person as well as one of Indian descent that's from India. My husband also dated interracially prior to our marriage, dating Caucasians, and I wanted to make two comments about what you're seeing in terms of attractiveness and women, black women choosing, not choosing, or preferring black men. I think one of the problems that comes about is what people assume is attractive in a woman. And black women in the media aren't given those elements. We're portrayed as basically women who are demanding, hardcore in a way, and that we're ball busters. And nobody wants that, not black men, white men, or any other men. I don't think it's a physical attraction that people are looking for, because that of course, depletes with time. So that overall attractiveness to personality and whether or not you're compatible has to do with how you're portrayed and what people's perceptions of you are. My other comment is on also, I don't know what studies have been done to determine the number of, when it comes to choosing a partner and going outside your race, how many women choose black men over other cultures? What's the demand there and what's the percentages? And I know for me personally and some of my girlfriends who are African American, there is a sense that when you choose someone outside of your race or when dating someone white or in another race, that you're settling for less, that you couldn't conquer that black man and provide that stable relationship that we all seek, one of a complete compatibility and desire and fulfillment. You know, sexually and in your relationships long term, you want the ultimate. And I know I perceive that as the ultimate, and I feel like I'm achieving an ultimate perfection in my relationship. Although my relationship is not perfect, I think we started out with something that's special.
Wow, well, there's a lot there. It's great that you found such a wonderful man and have such a great relationship. We should keep in mind, though, that not all black women can follow in that path, because, again, there are nearly twice as many black women graduating from college as there are black men. More than 800,000 black men are in prison. So not all women can do that. On your other issues, it is the case that, you know, stereotypes exist about black women in particular, many of which are unfavorable. But it's not so clear that those stereotypes actually shape their intimate relationships, because when people meet, they get to know each other and they react to each other based on, you know, what they experience in their relationship, less than on some stereotype that's in the media. So the stereotypes are probably less important than we think. And one final point is that, you know, black men, people sometimes talk about the desirability of black men. We should be clear that the data show that black men actually are less desired by non-black women than black women are by non-black men. There's a bigger market for black women among non-blacks than there is for black men.
What's the study? Can you cite it?
Oh, there are a variety of studies. The most recent studies are studies of interracial dating. Of internet dating. And these internet dating studies consistently show that women have much stronger racial preferences than men, and that large numbers of white women do not prefer to date black men. in the studies that look at the preferences, say, of white men, they find that large numbers that black women are the least preferred by white men, but there's a much smaller group of white men who have any racial preference at all. So one consequence of this, and again, this is counterintuitive, but it's clearly the case,
it is counterintuitive,
that there's more of a market among non-African Americans for black women than there is for black men, which then re-raises the question, why don't more black women outmarry?
Oh, let me thank the caller and go to an email here, or actually a web comment. This is Mia, who writes, forgetting about the marriageability of black women, why are we not discussing racism? Racism is rampant in this country when it comes to the way black men are viewed, period. This view is so ingrained that it permeates the black community. Black men are seen as dangerous, shifty criminals. If you don't believe this, ask yourself how many times you've thought about your car doors being locked when you see a black man walking down the street. I've talked to several educated, loving black men who have had the experience of hearing your car doors lock. Black boys are less likely to receive a full education. They are seen through a lens of racism from the moment they're born. Here in Oakland, they die by the hundreds each year, not exactly where one would look for a marriage partner. Well, we've been leaving racism out of this equation?
No, there's a lot of truth in that. Racism in some sense, right, has generated this disparity between black men and women, right? We could stipulate to that. The question then is, how do black women respond to that?
Well, in many ways, they say we're in it together with black men, don't they?
And
that that's who we should marry.
And that, in fact, is what, in essence, what we've encouraged black women to do. We've encouraged black women to accept the fact that they can't be happy until black men are doing better.
We'll go to another of your calls. We'll go to Diane next. Diane, thanks for waiting. Join us.
Hi. I want to piggyback the last comment of the email you got. We're not dealing with racism in any kind of real point of view because black people in this country are viewed as the bottom. I mean, the bottom in anything. The bottom. Any group that comes to this country looks at everybody else above black people. When it comes to interracial marriage, you never heard the term biracial until white women started marrying black men. Before that, they were just light-skinned black folks. Now,
Diane, we've got a bad connection here, I'm afraid. Let me see if we can get you on a better phone line than that. But you want to respond to what you just said, Rick Banks?
Well, I'm not sure where that was going to end up. But, it is the case that, there's a lot of racism in society. And we shouldn't downplay that. But that doesn't, resolve the question of how we should think about the choices that people make in their intimate lives.
Now, here's another listener, Jen, who says, as a 39-year-old African-American woman who has grown up in predominantly white areas, I've never once been asked out by a non-black man. While I have my preference, I've always been open to dating outside my race. The problem is they're either not interested or they think I wouldn't be interested. And I'm sure the fact that our own men don't seem interested in us and we're constantly demonized in the media and entertainment puts us at the bottom of the totem pole, so we don't even get a fair chance.
Yeah, again, those are great issues. These are issues that I unpack in the book. And there is this sense where, black women might assume, say, that white men, for example, are not interested in them. And a lot of white men, frankly, might assume that black women are not interested in them. So it's easy to see how you can have people who, even if they're interested in each other, they'll actually never come together. And we have that sort of standoff.
Well, here's Lisa, who says, I'm a Stanford graduate, African-American. I've never dated a black man, not because I didn't want to, but because there was never a time for it. When I was in high school, the black guys in my area were not up to my level and my ambition. And when I went to college, the black men at Stanford didn't really want to date black women, so the opportunity never arose. My parents did tell me they had a preference for dating black men, but they never forced it on me. And really, they wanted me to be happy. I'm currently engaged to a white man. I couldn't be happier. It was worth it to me to leave my options open. I agree that looking only in your own race as a black woman is complicated and really limits you if you want to be successful in life and in love. That's your thesis, isn't it?
Wow.
Let me go to more calls here. Atlanta caller from Atlanta, Georgia. Hakeem, good morning.
Yes, hi, good morning. I have a question for your guest. Has he ever considered encouraging black women to cross the cultural line versus crossing the racial line? Because what I mean by the cultural line is that culturally, ancestrally, black people have partaken in the practice of polygamy. especially for situations in the cases of what the guest is talking about. And also, I have another question for the guest. How many black males are there in America? And the reason I ask that question is because you cited that 800,000 black males are in the prison system, and this is a constant issue that is brought up as a reason why black women can't find a proper mate. And I just want, I'm just interested in the proportions of black males in this country to black males in the prison population.
Okay.
Thank
you.
Thank you. The comment.
So about what, one out of 10?
Okay,
so you can just number multiply by 10?
So the estimates, and these are conservative estimates, is that, you know, right now, one out of 10 black men in their 20s or early 30s are in jail or prison. One out of 10. One out of four are projected to go to jail or prison at some point during their life. So those are pretty big numbers.
He also asked about polygamy. I don't know that that figures into your thinking, or does it?
Well, yes. I mean, if you're suggesting that, you know, black one solution, right, to the high numbers of unmarried black men is for black women to enter into polygamous relationships with black men, I think that's not a good solution. It's not what the women would want. And in fact, that's part of the problem. And I discuss this in the book as well, is that it is the case that African Americans are more likely than other groups, or black men are more likely than other groups of men to have multiple partners at once. That's actually a problem.
It makes them less inclined to marry.
It makes them much less inclined to marry, and it makes the women pretty unhappy with the situation.
Talking to Rick Banks, who is professor of law at Stanford and author of Is Marriage for White People? How the African-American Marriage Decline Affects Everyone. And Elizabeth from Oakland, join us. Hi.
Hi. I'm a psychologist in Oakland. And first of all, I think I want to comment on the intense controversy and negativity that you've received and your kind of puzzlement about it. I think that this is a very dangerous time for white people to define African-American people's experience. Listening to this show, I learned that you have the qualifications of being married to a black woman. The other thing is...
Wait a minute, hold off, because he is African-American, Rick.
Oh,
Benson.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry. I mean, you know...
It's one of the things about radio. It doesn't show race, so...
That's right. There was a prominent social psychologist, Stanford professor named Walter Mischel from the 70s and 80s, even 60s, 70s and 80s. He produced a large amount of literature about something called the ability to delay gratification. And he published in the professional literature that African Americans had a lower ability to delay gratification. Now that I know that you're an African American man, I think you can understand why he... You know, why there was such outrage. So I'll take my comment, I'll take your response off the air. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. You want to say anything to her?
Well, for the record, I am African American. But I also should say that, you know, frankly, I don't think that should matter. I'm also married to an African American woman who's a member of that same psychology faculty at Stanford. But frankly, I don't think that should matter either. You know, so my book is not, you know, it's not my opinion. It's really, you know, an analysis that, you know, began as a scholarly inquiry into why marriage has declined so much about African Americans, what some of the causes are and what the consequences are.
A listener from Alameda, Jake, who says, I'm a white man getting married to a black woman this Sunday. Her previous partners have been both black and white. Once we were in a committed relationship, she said she would never date another black man after dealing with stereotypes and all the points that have been made about black males. We are both college graduates. As a white man in an interracial relationship, I'm harassed more by black men for crossing the color barrier than I ever thought possible. Another impediment.
Now, he raises one of the puzzles, one of the surprising things that I encountered during the book. I also interviewed lots of people and talked to lots of people about their lives and about interracial relationships. And one of the most adamant opponents of black women entering the integrated relationship marketplace was black men. One black man after another seemingly refused to believe that black women could find partners of another race. And those who believe that they could didn't think that they should. And there's an obvious bit of self-interest at work there.
Let's bring in more of our callers. We go to you next, Selezi. Good morning.
Hi, how you guys doing? I appreciate the conversation. It's very cool. I had to call in. I'm from San Francisco, California, and I'm a conscious MC artist. And here in San Francisco, there are really no black women unless you go to Hunters Point. And there are, like, all type of women that are all through the city. And, you know, I like all type of women myself, so it's not a thing. And all type of women are attracted to me, so I just use the old saying that was given to me that we've been making love for thousands of years. So, you know, I don't really trip off color. I'm colorblind. But there are a lot of black men that I know that have never dealt with a white woman because they think that a white woman won't like them or a white woman's not attracted to them. They have these color things because of racism, like the callers that we were talking about earlier. Racism exists, and we haven't dealt with race. You know, the Seattle president don't deal with race. We haven't dealt with race. So, you know, there's a lot of people that are scared of other people because you fear what you don't understand. You know, and like, you know, TV introduces some people to black people. They don't really know black people. You know, TV will do it, you know, and a lot of black men have been mentally, physically, spiritually, and emotionally abused. You know what I mean? And they don't, you know how to deal with their impulsive, you know, problems and things that they deal with. It's a whole bunch of stuff messed up with black people and or black men. You know what I mean? So. Yeah, it's a trip, you know. If you can't deal with that racism and how it's affected you, it'll eat you up. Because like the other caller said, if you just leave your options to just black people or white people or Mexican people, you're really tripping because we all great. You know what I mean? But
hi, Selezi, thank you for the call. Here's a listener who says, I'm a 34-year-old African-American woman married to a white man. Our first-year anniversary is October 1st. My parents love my husband. They see how happy he makes me. His family loves me as well. Luckily, color was never an issue for our families. When my husband and I walk down the street holding hands, my husband gets annoyed when I get bad looks from black men who disapprove of me being with a white man. I always tell my husband they are giving nasty looks to get a reaction. Don't give them the satisfaction of getting upset or reacting to them. You know, there is that sense of... a lot of disapproval. And, you know, for a woman to marry out, mm-hmm. she's going to suffer that.
Right. And
coming up to us in emails.
And again, this is odd, right? As a friend of mine said, she says when she sees a black man who's married to a white woman, she might feel a little bit of discomfort there. But when she sees a black woman who's married to a white man, her response, I know she tried. Because there are too few black men.
But you hear comedians like Chris Rock and so forth making a lot of fun of black women's overreaction to seeing black men with white women. In fact, Eddie Murphy does a lot of bits on this, mm-hmm. too. I mean, what they're saying, in effect, is that black women don't like it. And so there's that whole sense of approval, disapproval, shame, humiliation, disapproval, yep. particularly from one's own community.
Yeah, no, I think there's, and I think though for black women who respond negatively to black men who are with non-black partners, they should let that go. And that would be a positive development because the reason that they're so opposed in part is because it kind of reminds them of their own situation, which is one in which there are just too few black men.
And we go to Mark from Livermore. Mark, join us. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Michael. I wanted to commend your guest on his idea. It's really a brilliant idea, and it might solve some of the problems for the African American women. However, is this ahead of its time? I mean, it's not really an easy thing to do because, like someone else said, relationships are very difficult as is, and you enter the racial thing into it makes it more complicated. I am a Lebanese American that comes from a small group of Lebanese that we only marry within. And anytime somebody marries outside, I'm like, yeah, you're a hero. But it takes guts, though. It's not easy. You have to be educated. You have to be really mature to be able to handle those things. But I still want to commend him. This is really a good idea, and it might help the black women. Thank you.
Thank you for the call. Good to hear from you. And here's a web comment from Bob who says, I'm a white American guy who married a Mexican woman from Mexico City. Quite different cultures, as you can imagine. Or are they? We share the same basic values of what's right and wrong, the way to treat people, and we were both college educated. My wife has more in common with like-educated and like-valued people of any race than with, say, farm workers of her own country, just as I do. The key, then, as your guest implies or says, is similar cultural values to make a relationship last. Education level and parental upbringing are most important in making similar cultures. Race is not.
I think that's exactly right. And the point there is that it's a stereotype to think that simply because two people share an ethnic background or racial identity, that they would then have a lot in common. There's a lot of diversity within the category of Mexican-Americans or African-Americans.
And here's Faye, who says, here we are in a new millennium, yet the old sex role of the woman supposed to wait like a rooted flower to be pollinated persists. Turn the tables upside down. Ask a man out. Women's liberation is half a century old, yet society falls back to old sex roles and men do the asking in dating. I'm going to go to another email here, which is a question. How much do the higher death rate of African-American men contribute to less marriage for black women? Do we know?
That's a factor. I don't think that's one of the primary factors. Black men are much more likely to be murdered. But overall in the United States, there are actually not that many murders.
Well, but also to die younger.
Tens of thousands.
Because of,
right. And there also is there's a higher diseases. Accident rate. So there are more accidents that occur. And black men have a shorter life expectancy. So those are all factors. But when you look at the marriage age population, people in their 20s and 30s, key issues again are incarceration, interracial marriage, and the failure of black men educationally and economically.
Well, it's a bold book. Thanks for talking with us about it this hour. Appreciate your being here. Rick Banks, again, professor of law at Stanford, author of Is Marriage for White People? How the African-American Marriage Decline Affects Everyone. And we're here with you Monday through Friday, 9 to 11, and hours repeated 10 to 11 in the evening. I want to thank Senior Editor Dan Zoll and our producers, Kevin Guillory, Judy Campbell, Tina Lauerberg, and Amy Machado. Our engineer is Danny Bringer. Our executive producer is Raul Ramirez. And by the way, you can continue this conversation on our website by going to kqed.org/forum and clicking on this segment. Thanks for being a part of this morning's program. For all of us here at KQED Public Radio, I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation in honor of Louise and Claude Rosenberg.